Exodus 23, Numbers 13. We're going to look starting at Exodus 23 first. And in Exodus chapter 23, look if you would starting at verse 23. Exodus 23, 23. It says, the Lord is saying here, he's talking to Moses, and he says, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." Drop down to verse 27. "I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land." Now turn, if you would, over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now by the time we get to Numbers chapter 13 here, some time had passed since the Lord told Moses what he told him over in Exodus chapter 23. And the children of Israel, right here at the border of the promised land, God's plan is ready to take place. He's ready to send his angel in. He's ready to send the hornets in. They are ready to enter in the land flowing with milk and honey. And the land that God told them back in Exodus 23, this was going to be their land, and he was going to give them victory over these people in the land. But before they went in the land, the Lord said to Moses, I want to send you into the promised land. I want you to send into the promised land 12 men. And Moses obeyed the Lord and sent in these 12, what we call the 12 spies. And the Bible tells us that these 12 men spent 40 days in the land of Canaan spying out everything that was going on in the land. They weren't trying to be James Bond. They weren't trying to commit espionage. They were just simply looking at everything and everyone in the land. And after 40 days of spying in the land, they came back. And in Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 26. It says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation, Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we possess through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is parted from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Let's pray. Father, again, I ask you this morning, Lord, just to open our ears to your word this morning. And Lord, help us to see for who you really are. And help us, Lord, as we listen to the word being preached this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, back in Genesis chapter 12, God, if you read back in Genesis chapter 12, you'll read where God called Abraham to go to a land that he had promised him. And that land would be given to Abraham's physical seed, would belong to Israel forever. And then we read about how the children of Israel ended up in Egypt. And after that, we read how the Lord delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and then led them into the wilderness, right up to the border of the land that God had promised to their fathers. Now, it's very clear to me that it was God's plan for Israel to not only enter into the land, but to get victory over the inhabitants. That's the reason we read what we read over there in the book of Exodus. He said, I'm going to send my angel in. This angel's going to go in there. He's going to defeat all your enemies. By the way, every one of those enemies that those 10 spies talked about, the Lord had already talked about in Exodus and saying, I'm going to send my angel in. He's going to wipe those people out. And so his plan was for them to enter into the land, get victory over those people. God would get the glory for it. That was the plan, and that plan never changed. And may I also say that that plan is still God's plan today. The land over there today that they call Palestine, it belongs to the Jews. And it's God's plan that they have it. Now, if you want to call me a Zionist for saying that, so be it. Then I'm a Zionist. If you want to call me a bigot for saying that, then so be it. That's what I am. Because the Bible makes it clear that that's their land. It's their land. And it's God who gave them that land. And it's Israel who will end up the land literally after all the smoke clears, okay? God told Moses and the children of Israel back in Exodus 23, he says, I'm going to send my angel before you into the land. Just follow him, listen to him, do what he tells you to do, and the angel of mine is going to systematically wipe out every single inhabitant of the land so that you'll be able to live there safely. And then a short few months later, the children of Israel are ready to go into the land. All they have to do is believe God. That's all they have to do. But before they entered into the land, God told them to pick out these 12 men, send them into the land, search it out, and see what was in it. Now, some people think that God was setting Israel up for failure there, but he wasn't. God was simply going to see whether or not Israel would trust him or not. He was trying to see if Israel would believe what he said over in Exodus or not. And so he was seeing if they would believe God. God wanted all 12 of these men to come back from the land after 40 days and give a victorious report. That's what he wanted. That was the plan. But then when the 12 came back from the land after 40 days, we know the story, 10 of those 12 spies came back and gave an evil report. And the people listened to that evil report and decided not to go into the land that God had promised them. Now, when I read that whole passage there with Exodus and Numbers chapter 13, there's one word that comes to mind. And that is the word influence. Influence. Now, the word influence can be defined as leading and guiding with unseen power. I'm pretty sure this morning that every one of us could think of someone who has influenced us in the past. And though you may not have known that you were being influenced by those people when you were being influenced, today you could probably look back and you can see the influence that they had upon you, whether it be good or whether it be bad. There are certain truths that you've heard preached in the past that influenced you, that perhaps made you get closer to the Lord. There are positive influences. There are negative influences. There are influences that can help you in your Christian walk, to help you walk better as a Christian. There are also influences out there that can lead you astray. Influence is that invisible force that can only be seen by the effects of it. It's like the wind. You really can't see the wind at all, but you can see what the wind is doing. Amen? I mean, you can see the leaves moving and the branches breaking and the dust flying in the air, but you can't see the wind itself. It's the same way with gravity. You can't see gravity, but you can sure see the effects of it. If you don't believe it, jump off a ladder one time. Amen? You'll see the effects of it. Okay? That's the way influence is. You really can't see influence itself, but you can see what influence is doing. And I want you to think about this morning. In the verses that we just read, you read where 10 men influenced an entire nation. 10 men influenced an entire nation. Just 10 men. 10 men influenced 2.5 million people, and they didn't have social media. They didn't have radio or TV or CNN or Google News. They didn't have any of that. 10 men shaped the opinion of a whole nation. May I tell you this morning, influence is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Now, in this account of the 12 spies, we learn a few things. We learn a few things about influence. And the first thing we learn about the influence of these spies is this. We are all vulnerable to influence. We're all vulnerable to influence. I want you to remember that all 12 spies came back after 40 days, but the ones with the loudest voice, or at least the ones that people were influenced the most by, were the 10. And notice in Numbers 14, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Now, when you hear that, and you think about that, remember, you had 10 that come back and said, gave the evil report and said, it's not possible. We can't get the victory. Now remember, back in Exodus, God already said, I'm going to send my angel in. He's going to take care of it. All you have to do is get behind him, follow him, do what he tells you to do. He's going to send hornets in. He's going to wipe out the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and all these. He's going to wipe them all out. And he says, I'm not going to do it all at once. It's going to be a process, but we're going to get them all out of there so you can live safely in the land. Now, you would think that somebody would say, amen, I'm looking forward to going to that land. But that's not what happened. These 12 spies came out, and these 10 said, can't be done. Over here is Joshua and Caleb. They said, hey, wait a second. God will give us a victory. If God's in this, we just go in there, and we're going to do exactly what he told us to do over at Exodus. We're just going to go in, and God's going to give us a victory. Now, you would think that those people would say, I remember what God said over back in Exodus, and I'm going to believe him. But it says here that all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. What do you think they were crying about? Because they were thinking, we came all this way to enter into the land, and God's going to have us killed if we try to go in. And so they're crying. They had already been influenced by the evil report. They were not even considering the report that Joshua and Caleb have given them. They were already influenced by the evil report, so now they're crying, they're upset, they're murmuring against God. They said, let us get another captain, we're going to head back to Egypt. They're ready to even put Moses aside and Aaron aside and saying, hey, we're going to die out here. Listen, they did not believe what God had told them. They did not trust God. And so they cried, and it doesn't say that some cried. It doesn't say that part of the congregation cried. It says all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God he had died in this wilderness. They were all influenced by these 10 men and the report they gave returning from the land. Now again, every one of us at one time or another has been influenced by something that somebody said about something. We've all been influenced by that. And we really didn't know all the facts, we just took their word on it. And we were influenced by that. And you realize that's what happens when you watch the news? That's what happens. You're hearing somebody, a commentator or a journalist, who each have their own biased opinions about the way things are, and we take their word on it, and then we're influenced by what they say. And that's exactly what happened with the nation of Israel here. They were influenced by these 10 men, and the report these 10 men brought back with them. The nation of Israel allowed the thoughts and the fears of these 10 men to shape their ideas and eventually shape their future, all because of what they said. They chose to hear what they said and believe them over what God said. You say, well, who were these men? Who were these spies? Why did they have such power with Israel? Why did Israel choose to listen to these 10 men in the first place? Well, turn back to the very beginning of Numbers chapter 13 and look at verse 1. Who are these men? Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 tells us who these men are. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. That's why there were 12 spies, one for every tribe. Because one person was sent from each tribe. 12 tribes, 12 men. Verse 2, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, ye shall send them in, every one a ruler among them. These men who were sent in were not just a bunch of volunteers looking for an adventure here. These men were rulers of each tribe. Verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. These men were leaders. Hey, listen, these were good men. If you were there, you probably would have chosen these men as well. They were leaders of each one with their own tribe. We get the idea that when these 12 men came back, we sometimes think that you have Joshua and Caleb, the ones that are true leaders, and then you have all these others that they were just they're just people with problems. Well, yes, they didn't believe God, but listen, before they were ever sent in, they were good men, they were leaders, they were people that men that these people counted on. Okay, and so these people were sent in. Every tribe whittled it down to one guy, and it's not like this guy was somebody who had nothing else to do. It's not like they chose one who never had responsibility before. These were leaders. These were rulers. These were men who others considered to be the cream of the crop. And so these were the best men that Israel had to offer. And when I read this passage about the 12 spies that were sent in, I don't get the idea that these men originally went into the land of Canaan to find fault with it. I don't think that at all. I think that when they first sent them in, that they were all 12 were saying, man, I can't wait to see what the land of milk and honey actually looks like. I mean, I can't wait to see what God has promised us. I don't think in their mind they were saying that I don't want to inherit the land. Every one of these men were leaders, and they knew God's plan concerning the inheritance of the land, and they went in there thinking how great that land would be. But when they went in there, those 10 men who brought back the evil report, they were influenced by the difficulties in the promised land. They saw the giants of the land. They saw that there were walled cities in that land. They saw the large populations in that land, and they were not expecting the things that they saw, and they were fearful. They were influenced by what they saw. And when they came back from spying out the land, they were influenced. The land that had influenced them, the things that they saw had influenced them, they took that same influence and influenced the whole nation of Israel. And whether we like it or not, all of us are vulnerable to influence. We're like those 10 spies. We get so influenced by the difficulties that we see and so influenced by the things that we look at as being impossible to have victory over, and fear takes over and worry sets in. And even though we know what the Lord has said to us, we know that He's told us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And even though we know that He is our shield and our buckler, and there's nothing impossible with God, we push every promise that God has made aside sometimes, and we go by what we see and what we feel, and we begin to be influenced by fear and anger and frustration. And then we end up spreading that same influence to other people. What I'm trying to say is this, we really hold it against those 10 spies, but we're guilty of doing the same thing. Not only that, but we can also be just like the nation of Israel, to where we allow ourselves to be influenced by something someone says or does. We're very vulnerable to that. Every one of us can remember somebody in our past who was a good influence on us. And every one of us can remember somebody in our past that was a bad influence on us. But regardless of how old you are, we can all be easily influenced by what others say and do. And usually that influence is not seen or understood until after the fact. There are people in my life today who has greatly influenced me, but they were never even aware of it. There are preachers that the Lord has put in my path that the things that they said, maybe a message that they preached, the Lord used that to influence me. But at the same time, I look back in my past, and I can think of a few people that influenced me in the wrong direction as well. Now, every one of us can say the same thing, but I guarantee you this, you are an influence to somebody. You have an influence over somebody. Someone is being influenced today by what you say or what you do. Someone is watching you. Somebody is looking up to you. You have influence. First thing that we learn in this account of the 12 spies is we are all vulnerable to influence. But then the second thing that we learn in this account about influence is that fear and unbelief are powerful influences. Fear and unbelief are powerful influences. In Numbers chapter 13, look if you would at verse 31. It says, when these men came back, notice what they said here. It says in verse 31, it says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. These were those same leaders. These were those same heads of each tribe. And do you see what they said? What they said was this, it can't be done. We cannot get victory here. They were scared. And to be perfectly honest with you, when I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, one of the things I like doing is putting myself in their place, putting myself in their shoes and saying, now, if that was me, how would I react? I'll tell you what that'll do. When you start placing yourself in Scripture and realize that this is talking about us, it's going to humble you to say, you know what? What they have happened to them would probably happen to me there too. I'll give you an example. Sometimes we're so angry at Adam and Eve for eating a fruit. There ain't a person in this room that would not even have eaten that fruit. That's fact, folks. And listen, we sometimes get mad at these 10 spies for coming out and giving that evil report. Put yourself in their shoes. Let's say you go in the land and you see the giants of Anak there. And you see the walled cities there. And you don't think you'd be scared too? These people were scared to death. They come out of there. They give that evil report. They're saying it can't be done. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure what I would say. I'd know this. I'd be pretty scared if I came out of there and saw what they saw. Amen? I would. But may I tell you that what that fear led to? It led to unbelief. They began to doubt that God could do what he said he could do. And that fear and that unbelief spread to the people of Israel. That's the reason they were crying there in chapter 14, verse 1 of Numbers. And that same unbelief cost Israel their lives. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom they should not enter into the rest, talking about the promised land, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What happened was this, these 10 spies came out and they influenced the nation so bad that they're sitting there crying and want to go back to Egypt because they listened to what the 10 spies said. They did not believe what God has said over there in the book of Exodus. They did not believe that God was going to give them the victory over those people. And because they did not believe God, God says, you are not going into that land. You're not going to go in. What is it that fuels unbelief? It's sight. It's sight. In our text in Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 28. It says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. This is what the 10 spies are saying. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw, need to underline that, we saw the children of Anak there. You know, it's very easy to see giants in life. It's very easy to see walled cities in your life. It's very easy to see all the obstacles in life. Do you know why? Because they're there. They're there. They're everywhere. And they're always going to be there. There are always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be giants in your life. There's always going to be walled cities in your life. Listen, folks, the moment you got saved, nobody said that life all of a sudden is going to be peaches and cream. There are going to be things there'll be obstacles in you having the Christian walk that you need to have. There are going to be things there, the devil's going to put obstacles in front of you that's going to try to stop you from serving the Lord. That's what he's going to do, and that's never going to stop on this side of eternity. Those obstacles are there. Listen, those giants were in that land. Those walled cities were in that land. The problem wasn't that they weren't there, and some people think, well, they were just seeing things that weren't there. No, they were there. Those people saw it. But the problem is, listen, these people were looking exactly what God wanted them to see. Let me ask you something. Do you think God knew the giants were there? Do you think he knew the walled cities were there? These people, all 12 of these spies saw exactly what God wanted them to see when they went into the land. God wanted them to look at these things. God knew that they were there. They were looking exactly what was there, and they were walking by sight. Sometimes when we're looking at those giants and we're looking at those cities and we're looking at all those obstacles, you know the one thing we're not looking at? The same thing the children of Israel were not looking at. See, they were looking at the giants and they were looking at all the bad things, but the one thing they weren't looking at The one thing that the thing that was missing from the equation was God. That's what was missing. And when we start to look at the giants in our lives and the walled cities in our lives and the obstacles in our lives, the one thing we're not looking at is God. When we start looking at God, all those cities and all those giants and all those obstacles begin to look a whole lot smaller. Once you start to look at God and see who He is, and the fact that He's still on the throne, and just like we said during Sunday school, that He's the King of Kings and He has absolute authority, and what He says goes, how big are those giants then? How big are those obstacles then? The truth is, Israel could not defeat the inhabitants of the land on their own, but they could with God. And those 10 spies that came back with the evil report had left God out of the equation. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because faith always leads to belief. And when you're walking by sight, it always leads to unbelief. Every time that you read in the Bible where somebody saw something that was scary, what happened to their faith? Right down, every time. I'll give you an example. Remember when the disciples and Jesus were on the boat, the storm came up? They saw the storm. They could hear the wind blowing. They saw the waves crashing against the boat. The first thing they said, with the Son of God on the boat, was, we're going to die. He was right there. What about the faith in Him? You see, they were walking by sight. These 12 people go in there, 12 spies go in there, leaders. They see exactly what God wants them to see there. They look at the giants. Hey, listen, Caleb and Joshua saw the same giants, the same walled cities, all the same obstacles that the other 10 did. The difference is these people walked by sight and they got scared to death. But Caleb over here said, listen, yeah, it's pretty scary, but God said He's going to give us the victory. They were walking by faith. May I tell you, that's the reason the Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because there are giants in the world today. There are obstacles in the world today. There's things going on in the world today. We sit there and we watch the news and we see the things happening on the news and we say, boy, how bad it is. Wait a second. Those are the giants that the media wants to... Do you realize that the media only shows you giants and walled cities? That's all they show you. That's the reason when you tend to watch the news, you tend to walk away from it without any hope. Hey, listen, as Christians, you should be smiling when you see things going. I'm not saying you're condoning them, but what I'm saying is when you see this world getting worse and worse and worse, if you believe what God said, you should be smiling. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. You're getting closer and closer to the end. It all depends on how you view things. Do you view it through sight, like the 10 spies did, and get scared to death? Or are you going to operate by faith, knowing that God's made promises? He's already told you this world's going to get worse and worse, and we're seeing it happen every day. Are you going to walk by faith and have a smile on your face? Notice what Caleb says here in Numbers chapter 30. It says, Caleb stilled the people for before Moses. In other words, he said, y'all need to calm down. Everybody's crying here. He said, you need to calm down. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Question, did Caleb and Joshua see the same thing that the other 10 spies saw? Absolutely. They saw everything, but they were looking at those things through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of sight and fear. Caleb said, for we are well able to overcome it. Not that they were stronger, not that they had more firepower, but they had God. And that's what Caleb was looking at when he said, we are well able. In Numbers chapter 14, look if you would, starting at verse 6, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding great land. If God delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear that ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Why would he say that? Because he understands that God is greater. And he said, they have no defense for who's on our side. They cannot win. That's what he's saying. If our defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. What a different picture that they're giving than those other 10. Do you know why they were not influenced by the fear that they saw and what they heard? because they walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is always the answer to fear. Again, this morning, I'm not telling you to disregard the fact that there are obstacles and problems in this life, because we know that there are. I'm not asking you to try to bury your head in the sand and pretend that they're not there, because they are. My question is what obstacle that you have before you this morning that's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? What obstacle is it that you think is so big and so powerful that you think that God cannot handle it and overcome it? What is it that you need to start looking at through the lens of faith this morning rather than the lens of fear and sight? When we choose what we allow to influence us, there's a lot out there, folks, that can influence you. If all you do is watch the news all day, it will influence you. If all you do is listen to political talking heads all day, it will influence you. All they're doing is pointing out the giants in the land. All they're doing is pointing out the walled cities in the land. And I'm not saying to detach ourselves from reality, but I am saying that if you listen to people and you listen to how bad things are supposedly getting, and they may have a point, things are getting bad, but still it's going to have a negative influence on you. Everything those 10 spies said about the land, other than the fact that they couldn't get victory over it, everything that they said was absolutely true. It was absolutely true. There were giants there. The sons of Anak were there. There were walled cities there. We know Jericho, the very first city they conquered, was a walled city. Everything they said was true. But they didn't include God in the equation. And when we look at things with faith, we're going to see things differently as well. And all those obstacles that we think are so big and stopping us from serving the Lord and doing what God wants us to do, they won't seem so big anymore if we'll walk by faith. The first thing we learn in this account of the 12 spies is we're all vulnerable to influence. The second thing we learn from the account of the 12 spies is fear and unbelief are powerful, powerful influences. And then the final thing we learn from the account of the 12 spies is this, and that is God holds us accountable for our influence. God will hold everybody in here accountable for the influence that you have. In Numbers 14, look if you would at verse 28. God says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." Drop down to verse 34. "After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise." Israel just got 40 years with no parole for their unbelief. 1 year for every day the 12 spies spied out the land. 40 years they would remain in the wilderness, and every person 20 years and older would die during that 40 years in the wilderness, except for Caleb and Joshua, who walked by faith. Oh, and by the way, those 10 men that came out with the evil report, you know, those same 10 men who were influenced by the things that they saw because they were walking by sight and they didn't have faith in what God said, and those same 10 men who influenced the whole nation, God killed them with a plague. That's what he did. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to kill us, but there is a principle here. God does hold us accountable for the influence that we have in this life. And you'll answer to God for how you influence the people around you when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. And if you're a parent, you will give an account of how you influenced your children. We all influence somebody. All of us do. Someone is watching you. Someone is listening to you. I want to encourage you this morning, be careful to influence them towards the Lord. The influence that you have, use that influence to influence those around you to get closer to the Lord. If they're not saved, to get saved. You have a tremendous influence. Everyone here does. And either you can influence them towards faith in God, like those two did, or you can influence them away from faith in God, like the 10 did. But know this, God's going to hold you accountable. He held those ten spies accountable. He wiped them out with a plague. Those people that murmured, who were influenced by those ten, who were influenced not to believe in God, not to trust in God, God held them accountable too. Oh, and by the way, you remember Joshua and Caleb? God held them accountable too, and he rewarded them by saying, you too can go into the land. That land that you walked in there and you saw all those giants, that land's going to be yours, and I'm going to give the victory over it. God's going to hold you accountable. So my question to you this morning is this. You know you're influencing somebody, but how are you influencing them? Are you one of those people that just walk around and, hey, listen, even if you don't say a word, sometimes a look on your face could influence a lot of people. When you talk to people, are you talking about how bad things are in the world? Have you been influenced so bad that you think that, I mean, that you honestly think that that Bible rotates around the United States of America? It does not. You want to know, when we tell you what God's interested in, what nation God's interested in? It's Israel. It's Israel. How are you influencing people? Are you using your influence to get people to come to church? Are you using your influence to make people trust, or at least influence them to trust the Lord more, to maybe come to church, to maybe read their Bibles more? Are you influencing them maybe to pray more? Or are you influencing them towards worldly things, the things that are seen in this world? God's going to hold you accountable for the influence you have. How are you influencing people?